to go first. It doesn't matter. We'll just go with it.
Mate, we're already recording.
Oh, fuck. The Daily Talk Show, episode 27.
27. Did I name this right? I don't know if I did. Let's have a look. I guess it doesn't matter. Yeah, no, I did. It's episode 27, everyone. Hi. It's Josh Jansen.
That was a peek behind the curtain.
It's and Tommy Jacket here. Jeez, mate, we're peeking, giving a lot of peeks, aren't we?
What are you
well, there was two
about?
in one fucking sentence. I recorded early, and then there was that little peek.
What is it? I don't know what a peek is.
You just fucking said we've given you a bit of a peek behind the curtain.
Oh yeah. Now let's start this again. That was annoying. I look like a fucking idiot.
Know what? That's another peek behind the curtain.
Nah, like you got me back. Yeah, boy.
There we go.
Welcome to the Honest Podcast. Yeah. Bunch of dickheads that don't know anything. Anyway, we're still in Sydney and we're sitting on a hotel room bed.
We've only ever started recording once prior.
Yeah.
And you told me, now you're being a fucking idiot. Turn it off and start again. Because
we've only ever started again once.
Yeah.
I'm glad you pushed through. Thanks, bro.
And that was because you didn't like that I was sitting on my back like...
No, it was okay. It'd be like having a conversation with your best mate, and your best mate is behind a door behind you. Okay. So you actually can't see them.
Yeah, I can understand why.
And you then can't physically move and turn to see them because you're stuck in a position.
It was annoying.
We're closing the loop. I fucked up.
Mate, hashtag close the loop. This is awesome.
I opened the loop yesterday, which was when I was talking about the Dead Sea, my bum stinging. Yeah, in the salt water.
Yeah, the bump.
But I dropped in. I just happened to drop in that the Dead Sea is the lowest point on Earth,
mm-hmm.
which is a big fucking call, right?
Yeah, and I pulled you up on it, not knowing anything about anything.
You know when you say something, but you feel convinced, like because you feel like there's enough evidence, but you're still unsure. Like I remember seeing signs everywhere, right? And I think it's a bit of a selling point for the tourists. So I was like, it's pretty sure. Anyway.
However, close the loop.
I just searched it. Is the Dead Sea the lowest point on Earth? And it says, Sea of Salt, which is another name for it, is a salt lake bordered by Jordan to the east of Israel and Palestine to the west.
Okay, go on.
Its surface and shores are 430.5 meters below sea level. Earth's lowest elevation on land. The Dead Sea is 304 meters deep, the deepest hypersaline lake in the world.
I don't understand what is going on.
Okay, so it doesn't give you the answer when you say, is the Dead Sea the lowest point on Earth?
This is called close the loop, not open another fucking loop.
It doesn't say yes or no, but it does say when you do type in that, the answer that comes up is it's... surface and shores are 430 meters below sea level, Earth's lowest elevation on land. So I will close the loop. It is the lowest point on Earth that is land. It is still classified as land.
Okay.
So there's probably holes that go a lot deeper than the Dead Sea. And it's... What the fuck did came to your mind when I said that?
I don't know. Maybe you're...
What did come to your mind, you weird...
Oh, your fucking stingy bum.
Anyway, it's close the loop. It's a cool place to go. You should get there.
Yeah.
You can see over to Jordan. So...
that's cool.
It's like... Yeah, complete. It's another country. You're looking across a lake to another... sea to another country. It's cool. Mm. That's what I fucking love about Europe, right? It's like... You literally can drive an hour
Israel, Europe.
No. So I'm veering off. So Europe, everything's connected. So you can... It's not like Australia, we grew up in this place where you can drive and go to another state.
Yeah, no.
Whereas you can literally drive from Canada to Mexico, like into Mexico.
You realize that's not Europe?
I know. I'm darting.
Mate, you sound like me today. Yeah, you are fucking darting like Josh Jansen.
Or you could go to seven countries. I'm back to Europe.
The funny thing is, I think you're a little bit high.
Yeah, I know.
You were having a go at me before because I said that in the hotel room, I could smell a bit of marijuana.
Yeah.
Or as on the streets, we say ganja.
Yeah. And I said...
You know what I hate about you?
I hate it when people who have never dabbled in the dope that think dabbled that they the can dope. Smell weed constantly. My wife does it. Amy says, smell that? Smell it, weed? Like, you've never smoked a joint in your life. So don't start talking about joints because you don't know what joints smell
and
like.
The thing is that I don't know the difference between the smell of joints and fresh grass clippings.
You know, like when you... Hence my abuse to you was valid.
No, you do. I think marijuana sort of smells like when... The mix of grass clippings and dog shit, maybe a little bit.
Okay.
Or like hops.
So the Barefoot Investor sent me an email.
Baby.
It's the subscription email, so it went to probably 100,000 other people.
Okay, yeah.
But it was about weed.
What did he say?
It was about medical marijuana. And he got an email from a couple that had some money to invest, and they were thinking, should we invest in these new medical marijuana companies?
Interesting.
Now, do you know any backstory on this?
Yes, a tiny bit. I know that I remember speaking to a friend, and she was saying her son was investing and stuff and doing really well.
Yeah.
It was like in the early days investing in this stuff. What's the latest? What was the advice?
The takeaway that I saw on there was there's been massive growth in this industry. Mm-hmm. So people have made money investing because it's been like a boom. The legalization in America and what they're doing over here in California and heaps of other states, and it's coming over here. So people have made money. But the one thing he said was these aren't companies that are profiting. His advice to people is invest in companies that make money so they actually have a turnover.
100%.
Whereas like one of them lost $100 million the other year.
Yeah, not ideal.
And so it's like the projection and the growth industry they're in is something that could make a fuck ton of money, but they're not there yet. And so when these when legalization in Australia comes through, and it's like people will. But if you to give advice to somebody... Like, yeah, here, put some money into a company that doesn't make anything. There's the massive risk involved, but you might win big.
Hugely. And on that point, let's potentially close a loop that maybe wasn't even a loop, but it was the Bitcoin man in Melbourne, that Sam dude, the Souvlaki guy.
Yeah, so I talked about him.
Yeah.
So I met him. He owned the Souvlaki shops on one of the other episodes. Anyway, he's like a self-made entrepreneur, seems to have made a bunch of cash. He's flashy with cars and stuff, and has a Souvlaki chain, and I'm big on Souvlakis. And he's also got Ozcoin ATMs that sell Bitcoin, and also his currency,
which is Ozcoin. Yeah, but
so I didn't even know that when I was talking about the guy Sam on this podcast.
Yeah, and you were playing this little grab from 60 Minutes from Sunday night, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So they were looking into him about whether his business is, I don't know, would you call it a fraud, or is it like...
No, maybe not misleading people, but it's using the fact that people are fucking pumped about crypto and shit like that.
For a cash grab investment.
Yeah, because it's not like, not all fucking crypto is made equal. And
well, setting up your own cryptocurrency, you need to fuel the economy. So you'd need people to buy into it.
Yeah.
So if a million people put $1,000 in, you got a fuck-toed lot of money into a brand new economy.
Yeah.
Essentially. So that's what they were saying. You were getting mum and dad investors to put money into a new, new economy that's non-existent, so you don't know if it's tried and tested.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's very risky. And talking about risk, I wanted to ask you a question in regards to whether you've ever had photos that you have taken which you needed to delete. I'll give you an example. Got my new lens over the weekend, and I was testing it out, and Bree was there, and she was sort of getting changed. And so I was just sort of snapping away, and she goes, make sure you just, you don't fucking upload
what
them.
What were you like, snapping
Well, just because I was like...
What was she wearing?
I was testing out the lens. She was just in her undies.
And where were you?
I was
with
in
a long
the
lens
fucking...
Around, over
no,
the other
I was
side
like
of the room?
In the, like in the same thing, just like testing it out, like portrait sort of thing. All very tasteful.
Fuck, this is a story coming to me. Keep going. Yeah, it will come to me.
Yeah, and so that was what I was wondering is I ended up importing all my photos, and I was like, oh fuck, forgot to delete them off the camera. So yeah. I just had to go through and delete them. But I feel like if anyone was to have this happen, it would happen to you, because I'm sure there's been a fair few nudes and shit like that. I feel like you're
pro- what? Hang on, Ian. They feel like there's a fair few nudes. What does that mean?
Well, they Campton and that call you the nude dude.
No, they don't. You fucking idiot. Oh fuck! I'm just trying to think. It was one of the
deep inside you.
Oh, it is.
Think about it.
It was.
You are not.
I had my phone,
to be clear.
And someone was looking at it. I was showing somebody something, and something came up.
Oh.
And here's the thing: I've never sent a nude to anybody in my life.
You haven't sent one.
I've never sent a cock shot in my life. I think there's something fucking gross about it, and you're now looking at me,
mate. Stop your judgment.
Yeah, but the way you're looking at me is like...
Which I don't fucking believe you. I mean,
hang on, you think I'm lying to you? I've never sent a cock shot in my life.
Says the stripper.
Doesn't mean that someone hasn't taken a photo of my cock and sent it on. No.
Right.
No, okay. I actually have never sent... So, that's not what I'm talking about. I have had...
I like that you're being all high and mighty, like it's a... A choice based on...
No, but I think I've made the choice based...
Is it a penis issue?
Nah.
Okay, great.
I'm fine.
Perfect.
This has got real fucking weird.
I thought you went over to press pause, which would be only
the closest
second time
thing, right, is when you... So I've done a few of these competitions with my mates where we put in cash and we train really hard and bodies start looking much better, less blown out. Here's the thing, right? I'm not training hard at the moment. I'm going to the gym, but...
We know.
I don't... when you train hard, for me, and it sounds so fucking wanky, but you become so much more aware of your body and what it looks like. And when it starts looking a bit better, it sends me into like a... it's like you become more obsessed with how you look.
Yeah.
And so it's...
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because I find like now I don't look in the mirror much. It's like I'm happy with what
Welcome
I'm
to
what
the
I
club,
am
bro.
At the moment.
Welcome, take a seat, enjoy. Here, would
what?
You like some chippies?
What?
No, it's fine. Like I think that's a good place. Like I think that's as long as you're not fucking unhealthy. I think that's a good place to be.
Oh, I feel like I'm not as healthy as I could be, but I am not on. I'm not as far away as I once was.
Mm-hmm.
Into feeling more unhealthy, right? And so my point is, it's like it drives the obsession, and you see these Instagram people, and it's like I think they would experience what I've thought of, and that's that obsession. After you get the results, you start seeing it. You're fucking trying to look at your abs, and yeah, you just become a wanker.
Well, I have
I became a wanker.
And
so my point was, I have taken photos of my body, like as in trying to look at my abs and chest and shit, right? And so I've definitely flicked through photos in front of people and they've come up.
Oh.
And they would think that I'm a fucking idiot, right?
Do you know what is a fun game? If you are listening, if you're in the car,
yeah,
or if you're listening to this podcast with someone else, switch phones and go into the deleted folder section in the photos. Yeah.
You wouldn't find anything in mine. You might find a few of those ab shots.
Really?
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. I feel like I've taken so many before photos.
haven't got to the after
I've
bit.
Never gotten to the after. I've got this just pretty standard bod that's just sort of stayed the same.
Which is why you're not taking photos of it. Because when you start getting this little fucking sniff of success with the look of your body... Oh. It's I reckon you would probably go a bit like...
I'd go probably fucking mental.
Yeah, and so it's a hard place.
Should we do the daily... Okay, here. I've got a proposition for you, okay? I'm still working on Seth Godin and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you had... you caught up with a mate of yours today.
Yeah.
Tell us about him.
Yeah. He's serial entrepreneur. He's been very wealthy, lost it all... Very wealthy, lost it all, scaled businesses like no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And say his name, who is he?
Jeff Jowett. He created Body Trim, which is like you go into supermarkets now, they're like awesome. Like I like the cookies.
Yeah.
And you like those peppermint bars?
Yeah, no, I like the cookies too.
But he also started Vision Personal Training.
Oh, really?
Which, have you seen Vision?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the red PT studios, uh-huh. And he franchised the fuck out of it. and then got out. But he did it with partners and stuff. But we connected through Craig Harper.
Yeah.
Who's a fitness dude.
And he was... So, Jeff, that's his name, isn't it? Yeah. Jeff, well, I remember him so well from the, like, sort of the As Seen on TV infomercials.
Yeah.
You know, you got my protein bar. He's fucking great. He's like super energetic. But anyway, this is the thought I'm having on the fly, right? You met with him today. He was talking. He does all this stuff on weight loss. Why don't we get, we should get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
And we should set up, and why don't we do it for, maybe we could do it for March. Let's do the daily talk show March body challenge. We set a challenge. You have your challenge, so it might not be weight loss, might be, you know, fucking abs or fucking biceps or triceps or maybe even lats. I'm gonna build big lats. Is lats the thing?
What I would love is for you to talk to Jeff, because Jeff knows weight loss, that's his thing. He's like, said to me today, if there's one thing I know, it's weight loss. It's his thing. It's his thing he's passionate about, and he's helped hundreds of people lose. Yeah. Wait, did I tell you? Oh, yeah, I did. My sister-in-law, so my brother's wife, her mum lost a lot of weight using Jeff's program,
the one
body
thing
trim
I,
program, or the whatever
but,
it was.
But what I wonder about Jeff is whether he can... So I'm not at the... I used to be overweight. I'm not really overweight now. I'm just sort of standard.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what he could do from sort of a standard body type.
So I think... What I was getting at, you frustrate me when you talk about this stuff, because there's still a lot of, like, you've tried a lot, like you just said, I've got a lot of before photos, but you haven't got to the after. And I feel like maybe I lose a bit of that empathy for you, but Jeff would I think Jeff would have another perspective, because he has more conversations around weight loss and sticking to things when it comes to your body and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd like you to actually get a bit
fucking
educated.
Can we do this thing in March, or are you just getting pissed off and be like, I don't want to fucking do this?
It totally depends on what it is, because it depends on if you... It takes 8 weeks for your body to really start looking much better. 4 weeks, you the gear's on. And 8 weeks later, you...
What's the gears
looking,
on mean?
As in, like, you switched up a gear you're starting to get a momentum.
Right.
And then you get through... 3 months is like a primo amount of time.
Okay.
For you to get to a far
What's
place
March,
from where you are
April,
today.
May.
I'm going to Bali in May, so it could be up until May. But then it's... We'll find... I want Jeff on the podcast, because he's a very interesting dude.
Why don't we do this... Why don't we... Because you get a bit of fucking annoyed every time we talk about gyms and health. You get very upset with me because you just get fucking triggered as your PT, because you're worried that people are going to call you out or some shit.
Nah.
What is
it? They can be frustrating conversations.
Maybe it's the same feeling that I get with people who say they want to do all these creative things and they don't do it.
It'd
maybe it's the same
100%
thing.
Be the same thing.
So... But I do like the, and maybe that's exactly the same pain as if someone who's not that creative said, I want to do a 3 month creative challenge. It's like, well, could just fucking do anything.
You nailed that metaphor, and I know you love metaphors.
I do love a metaphor.
And you did well with that one.
But no, it would be fun to do something. Maybe we could dedicate once every 2 weeks to have some, if we were to do something a little bit longer term, say 3 months.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks, I'm just spitballing ideas, we could have someone on, like Jeff, like Craig, people like that, to talk about this specific thing,
like,
and we
it.
Can have an update.
I like it. Them cool. Just working out that thing, what that is.
What's the thing that you're constantly trying to work on? What's your...
I go through ebbs and flows of wanting or thinking about another thing. And it's like I've got to a more consistent point of being more healthy more consistently. But I've gone through those obsessions, like the... What I was saying.
Do you think having, say if we were in Sydney now and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get lunch, and I went to a supermarket and got some tuna. Like, is that, do you think that that's healthy? Like, as in from a mindset point. As from a mindset point of view.
What I'm opposed to what?
I just burped. Going out and having a meal somewhere.
So... It depends on what the meal was. Last night, I think it is healthy. I think it is...
But is that like not getting so... Like, is this...
It depends on what that... How you cope with that. Like, if you're being like, oh, I can't eat anything and I'm being super weird about this tuna thing. The thing that's the hardest is when you make it bigger than it is.
Yeah.
Because I like tuna and I'll eat tuna and I know it's healthier than the Macca's chips. And so, but it hasn't become a big thing. I don't worry about the taste. I'm like, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I won't even go near it because I'm too far away from that. So if you can just make it like, oh, I don't really think about it too much. I'm just eating the tuna. It becomes a part of you. Like last night we ate pizza and you wanted to get chips and I said, let's get a salad. I would but I would never get chips with a pizza. But it's like I have never thought about it like that, right?
All right. Anything else? Any other fucking...
You fucking brought it. See, triggered.
No, I'm not triggered. I'm fine. But so, I was doing it because I was trying to shock my body.
No, but I've hung out with people who are more fit, more healthy than me a lot. And they're just stock standard principles. Have this, but also get a healthy salad as well. And it's like, I take that and I look at that. And
yeah, that's good.
It adds to it. So if you're, it's like the green thing. I've encouraged you to eat more greens. So if it's like, if you're having this big piece of meat, at least throw in some greens. Like if you're looking at your plate, if it looks like there's not lots of greens on there, you're probably doing pretty good. And so it's like adding that stuff in. See how you are looking at me in this funny way.
No, I completely get it. No, but it makes sense.
This is the conversations it's I went so down fucking so annoying, much isn't it? With people.
Why is it so hard?
Because like, it's emotional.
And the thing is, it's like, it fucking annoys me even saying that because it's like, I just, when I hear people talk in this way, it's like when I watched, if you haven't watched this show, it's fucking amazing. I think it's only on Netflix in the US. Not in Australia, but I'm sure you'd be able to just download it. I think it's one of those TLC shows.
What is it?
I've mentioned it to you. It's Freaky Eaters.
Mm.
And there's an episode which I love where it's a guy who only eats burgers. And they're trying to wean him off it. So the first challenge is him eating a burger with just a little bit of lettuce in it. And he starts like, whoo. I try reaching as it gets close to his mouth.
Because he can't eat lettuce.
He couldn't.
He just only has to have cheeseburger.
Yeah, he just can't imagine it.
Oh, God. And that's patterning, right? It's like if you have eaten shit food for a long time, it's super hard. I get in it. I get in the patterns of eating really bad and it's consistent. I feel horrible. I've eaten probably the worst in the last week consistently. My guts feel funny today. I'm not feeling great. It's maybe feel a bit lethargic. Totally the food I'm eating. We have been up in Sydney doing some filming for you, your company. And we're filming a fitness chick who's like a spin instructor, super fit.
Yeah.
Like a machine.
There was a psychology. It's sort of like a soul cycle. If you know overseas, they have soul cycle.
It's only
dancing.
It's only cycling class.
Yeah.
Like spin classes, right?
But like music and fucking like pumping up.
Like
it seems
epic.
Like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I would almost do it in Melbourne.
Nah, not my cup of tea.
Apparently not many straight dudes do it, she was saying. Yeah.
Well, it is in the heart of Sydney's gay area.
Oh, really?
Gay district.
Which one? What's that one?
It's Oxford Street. Oh, okay. It's like, it's the place to be.
Okay, great.
It's one of the best places in Sydney. It's so vibey and shit. And so, anyway, she's super fit. My point of it is, she does like 25-hour sessions a week of spin. And I remember... And I know you fucking, but it's like living on my glory days. There was a time where I felt so fit and I was thinking I was looking at her and thinking, fuck, I remember that feeling of being super fit. And it's a really, really fucking good feeling. Like you get tired and shit, but you feel strong when you walk with great fucking posture and you just heart rate is just quality. And it's a really, like, if you haven't been there, it's this amazing, amazing place. Like, like humans that are just like really fit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking amazing place to be.
Okay. This has inspired me. What I would like to do next steps, I want to get, I think it would be cool to get some blood tests. And this isn't
you're
fucking
taking it way too far.
No, I'm not fucking taking
way
it too far.
Way too far.
No, see, this is the thing.
No, yep. Okay. Who's the guy that started shit and never finished it? I've at least started a lot of things and finished them.
I finished heaps of shit.
If you aren't going to the gym, blood tests aren't going to help you get through it. Because they haven't helped you before. You've done it.
You get fucking blood tests and then you do the thing.
No.
And then you test.
The easiest bit was getting the blood test. The thing that you aren't doing is the hardest bit, which is the gym. And I'm sure there's people listening who are annoyed or they're thinking I'm a prick. But it's like, just get away from the blood tests to your spin
class. But I think that, and this is probably why I don't think, like, I wouldn't have liked you as a PT.
I didn't talk like this to my clients. honestly, 100%, hand on heart, I didn't. Okay. I think you get fed up with the industry.
Yeah, but I think the thing is that it's such a personal thing, right? So as you've said, everything is so prescriptive. Everything needs to be specifically tailored to what motivates you and what's going to work longer term. Mm. And so for me, the reason I think about blood tests is if I have blood tests, then I can track it from a health point of view. So it's not a weight thing, because I've lost heaps of weight eating natural confectionery company lollies, right? That's no problem. Mm. But for the actual health, for long, longevity.
But I don't think it's a sustainable thing. And I think
which
a lot
but
of,
see, that's you being triggered based on...
No, because of your past. You've had many a blood test and it hasn't got you healthier than you were before, right? And so I can only go, if you'd never had a blood test, I wouldn't be talking like this.
But I think that that's the... I think that this is playing into something interesting, which is, I think that's around your conversation around why... Like, of course, if I had the attitude that you're always like this, you're only ever going to do this, you've always said you're going to be able to lose weight or that you're going
to
do it.
So all I'm saying is there's more simple things to measure the success that you have than going to get a blood test.
I agree.
Because what are you trying to get out of it? What do you want to know?
Minimum viable product,
what's a blood
right?
test going to do for you?
Well, a blood test, I always feel... And so
no. What is a blood test going to allow you to track...
Yeah, so I think...
what's the end goal?
So for me, this is the idea around it. I have always... Like, I have had... Like, I know that you don't think I've had success in that game. I went from 120 kilos to being 87 kilos.
Yeah.
To me,
but
going from morbidly obese...
Yeah, I know, but go back to the... I'm just trying to... Like, I'm not disrespecting the success you've had in terms of your weight loss, but my point of you getting a blood test... For you to track your success. I don't know what you're trying to track.
I get that. No, but I completely get that. But I think it's also, it plays nicely into the cliche, which is like, as a society, we overcomplicate things, right? So we think we need the new bit of gym equipment when we don't.
Getting a blood test.
Yeah. So I think you could say that, right? I think that people could say, don't. What you're trying to do is you're putting layers so that it's fucking harder for yourself. However, I also think that me getting a DEXA scan and getting the blood test did work. I have dropped significant amounts of weight since then. For me, there is a mental shift in saying, by getting a blood test, you're saying, I'm prioritizing this now. It's a shift. You know, you can say that about heaps of things. So it's like, some people will say, I'm not happy right now in my life. And they'll say, okay, I need to change my job, or I need to change where I live, or I need to change my friendship groups. And the thing is, you could say to them, you're fucking overcomplicating it because you're not happy because A, B, and C. You don't need a new job. You need to be, exercising or doing this or doing that. But I think the point is that when you change something, sometimes that is the catalyst and the thing that helps you move along and being able to do that.
I think you thought about it almost too much, right? So there's something before the. So you think that a blood scan will keep you accountable. And my thought around knowing you, and I'm not giving advice to some random person. Uh-huh. I'm giving someone advice. I know a lot about you and your past. But there is also there's a lot of things before that, so like that will keep you accountable.
Yeah.
That's outside of that. So if you ordered, if you got sick, you'd be fucking twice as healthy because you would have a fucking firecracker up your ass.
Yeah. And there is this keystone habits, right?
Yeah.
So keystone habits are those small habits that are easy to do, but they trigger off a bunch of other habits. Mm. So an example of that would be drinking more water, right? Or not even that. The habit might be having a cup always, like your cup that you always drink out of at your desk. That's the keystone habit. Then what happens is you fill it up more. You have more water. Mm. What happens then? You get off your seat more and you go and you get and you remove yourself from your computer. So you're having that time. Mm. All of these things end up happening, which results into better life. So there are those keystone habits. And I think some of them are around like when you wake up in the morning. I know there's lots of freelancers who wake up later. And I think I worked out early on that when I started freelancing when I was younger, you know, when I was 18, I would get up at quarter to nine or, you know, quarter past nine. And it's like I realized that, fuck, you need to get up earlier. So why I'm bringing this up, I think that there is that little bit of a mental, you know, it's a very complicated, I completely understand your frustrations. And it's that thing of, it's like what we were talking about the other day. I don't know if we spoke about it on the podcast, but it's like you can get fucking... We can all get upset at what other people, especially the people close to us, are doing, right?
Well, you see the things from an outside perspective on it's like, here's the thing you actually need to be doing.
Yeah.
Which is probably super easy from the outside.
And I think that the thing is, I can tell that... You're obviously like you're thinking about it because it comes. The things you're saying is coming from a place of love and care and wanting to be helpful, and it's in those moments where it's like, and I think that we are all guilty of it. Where it's like, I see fucking my parents eating poorly, and you're just like, well, fuck, you just need to do this, this, and this, and you get real ranty and angry about it.
It doesn't change across the board. I know so many PTs that all experience frustration with clients that are very strongly talking about what they want but aren't doing what they need.
Yeah.
And the excuses and stuff. So it runs so deep across the medical industry, the health and fitness industry. It's like this podcast. We've committed to doing it 5 days a week.
Yeah.
We've moved a lot of shit in our life to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's been a lot of success and it's been from the consistency of it. And I can tell you right now, if we did the same thing with you and I meeting down the park for half an hour a day just to fucking do a few push-ups and get fit and move around, what it would bring outside is bigger than you and I at the park.
Yeah.
It would change how you walk into a supermarket. It'd change how you feel about yourself. It would change your attitude towards exercise potentially, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But there are flow-on effects that are well outside of your mental capacity or like what you believe would happen.
And I think that the key, and if we use this podcast as sort of a proxy to what we're talking about, is we need to prioritize. Mm. And so what I would probably say to someone... who say the feedback that I would give to myself is that's really good. Like it's fine going and getting the blood test. Mm. Might have no or some impact. But beyond that, what is the next step? Like look 2 to 3 steps ahead and saying, so that's not the starting, that's not even starting yet, right? That's like the fucking, that's not even the business plan. That's like going, it's like you want to open a burger joint. This is literally saying I'm gonna go to Grilled. My first step, I'm gonna go to Grilled. I'm gonna have a burger.
I get the analogy. I think it's a bit different though, because I think you put the blood test as the thing that you're gonna be then 17 steps down the track getting another blood test. So it is the start for you. It is the start. It has to be. And you got a blood test ages ago and you never followed up and got the next one.
Well, I did like years... Like we're talking fucking 7 years ago.
The dude Tim Ferriss is that dude who gets blood tests.
But I did do it. I did do a follow-up one. But the thing was that I was also not like... I hadn't lost a significant amount of weight. Whereas, I don't know. Maybe you're right.
Being into something and I like for me... I've been really into weight training my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just got into it. It's like I actually enjoy it, which is you don't, right? And that's okay. I got into kickboxing for a while. I did that for ages. And then I just totally fell off and it's not my thing. And so my point of this is like everything is easier in life when you find that thing that is something that stimulates you in a way that your mind, it doesn't become the burden. And then you can, even when you don't like it, it just becomes after doing something you like. So it's like if you like canoeing, it's annoying because it's a barrier. It's fucking, yeah. But you live by a river.
It's true.
You start canoeing. And then by the time you've done it enough because you've loved it, you then stick at it when you don't really love it that, you know, that week because it's fucking pouring rain. But you're like, I do this now every day. Like yeah. What we're doing. And so it's like that is a principle for success. That's one of many principles. But for you, you've tried a lot of stuff. And so it's what is the thing that you like? And is there? And maybe you get through so many things, you're like, fuck, I don't like it. But you can't be then applying that success principle because it's not working for you in that. So you have to shift the principle. And it could be, some, I don't know, commitment to a mate that you're just rocking up.
Do you know, like the lesson that I take out of this is it's more the need to not talk about it anymore.
Mm.
It's the need to like, you know, if I look at other people in life and I look at the, you know, people who aren't that successful and they'll say, oh, I was going to invest in Bitcoin or oh, I could have done, you know, I actually knew this person. My cousin's mate was Elon Musk and, you know. just all these things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that the... we can get stuck in this loop that we find ourselves in. And it takes these conversations to think about it, which is it's a mix of what would it be? It's like this idea of proving to myself that I have the mental capacity to be able to do it.
Mm.
I think that the weirdness is that is also my hindrance. It's the thing that I do beat myself up on because it's like why it's the thinking about you should be doing it and you're not.
Mm.
And that I think is more painful than being completely naive with your situation.
Yeah. I mean, we're so complex, right? And I've said it on this podcast about how I go to the gym because of my mental state and my family. And I feel like they're things that push me through those shitty times
because
it's not anymore like I just can wake up when I want and go to the gym when I want and I don't have to think too much. I love that, but it's not my reality anymore. And so what's kept me going is a lot of those things. And so it's for you, what's that? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you can find something. Maybe it becomes the point where you've been talking about it for so long and you're looking at your own success in the past and you're fed up with not getting... or getting to a place where you want to be. And so that becomes your driver.
And I think that if we can look at all these other things in life where look at where you were in business 2 years ago or where, you know, all of these things and we were different people.
Mm.
And I think that there is a danger in thinking that we are the same. And that we're always going to be the same. And I think that if anyone else can take something out of this episode, as I think it's a painful one to listen to. I don't think that the last 20 minutes is fucking interesting to listen to because I think that things that are fucking boring is people talking about their health or their dreams.
But you bring it up to me so much.
It's true. And I think that it's maybe... thinking about like maybe you've got something like, you know, so that this wasn't a complete fucking waste of your listening power. Think about what is your version of what I'm talking about now? What is, so for some people.
I like that observation because the weight thing, dude, I don't know what it's like to be overweight. I've never in my life been overweight.
Yeah.
If I tried, I would struggle to get overweight. Yeah. It's my body type and I legit, look at me. I'm pretty skinny in terms of my body. And so I don't know.
So for other people it might be that it's their job.
Just leaving your job, getting a new job could be that one thing.
Or it can be so much fucking smaller than that, right? But it's about actually, rather than saying that it's going to happen or, you know, theorizing about stuff, just fucking do it. And so my commitment is, actually, you know what? March, like, we won't do anything. We won't do anything in April.
If they stopped listening 10 minutes in, we've committed, they come back in April.
We can close the loop. But the thing is that, like, I'll take it as my personal journey. This is something that I'll work on.
It's good.
And then we can come back at it when I've actually done it. Because I know, like, it's definitely a thing, right? Like, I've got footage of me, 13 or 14 years ago, yeah, as a kid, being weighed on scales, preparing for a weight loss challenge.
It's awesome.
I mean, it's not fucking awesome. I mean,
no, it's awesome that you've got the footage.
I mean, it's awesome that I got the footage.
I love old footage.
But it's...
But yeah, that's how long you've been doing this shit for and talking about this stuff.
And we're fucking... And it's just...
Get it. And I just want to say, I've offered you, like, let's go down to the park, TRX straps. I've got some. I own some. We can do... You know, it'd be like, if you push me to do that, as much as it's not the fucking most fun thing for me to be doing, I have offered that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like... I don't know. I see videos and creating videos. The breakdown of the process is really like the metaphor of what we're talking about. The elements of it are very similar to success across anything. It's like getting started. It's like you start making a really shit video. It's like your videos are always going to be crap to start with. You know, just keep chipping away, learning, research. It's like the same with exercise, I honestly think.
Yeah. And it's about impulses as well. Mm. It's about planting seeds. It's not about... You're not getting an instant reaction. If I start tomorrow, I'm not going to see anything tomorrow.
No.
And that's like the harder thing.
It's 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
4 to 6 weeks, you will... That's when you start... There's a tipping point.
And so that's...
If you're doing the right thing.
That's the thing, right? That's the interesting bit is... it's putting in, doing something now with the idea that it's going to be better for you later.
Mm.
And it's not as sexy and it's not as fun in the moment. And it's not geared towards our impulses or our, you know, satisfaction loop or whatever they thought, you know, the whatever that's called.
Mm.
Instant gratification.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Like we led earlier on about being something, it's like a challenge or whatever. So I think that becomes the problem, right? When it's like this trivialized...
Well, we self-contain it. We sort of...
it's good for a short term.
Yeah.
It's good, but when you're really doing it for yourself, which it sounds like you came around and you're like, fuck, that's a mission I need to go on. Stop talking about it.
I'm sure that we've said this in a previous episode. I'm sure that this is just fucking Ep 7 or some shit. Just
far enough away.
But the thing is that... And one other thing I would like to say is, what is the thing that keeps coming up again and again and again and again? What's the same stories that you keep telling yourself or what's the same conversations that you're having? Because maybe they're the things that you need to work on.
Mm. I feel guilty talking about stuff to people and they're not doing it.
Mm.
I feel like I don't want to be a broken record. And I feel like there's some stuff, you know, I've talked to you about stuff and you've helped me come up with concepts and stuff that I haven't followed through with. It's like I fucking feel that and I want, and I'm just like, it's a driver for me, I think. Putting it out there, talking to a mate is good, but if you continuously do it, it's when it becomes...
Yeah, and I've always said that, you know, happiness is about making promises to you and to the people around you and keeping them.
Mm.
And when you don't keep those promises, that's when your happiness is going to be impacted. Mm. And so that's like... I'm going to wake up at this time or I'm going to deliver on this thing or I'm going to meet this person at this time. All of those things are mini promises.
Yeah.
This was an interesting one.
Yeah. You see why when I try to divert from going down a rabbit hole with you on fitness. That's why. How many minutes?
45.
45 minutes later.
Great.
And we're not allowed to not put this up. So we have to put it
up. It's the daily talk show, everyone. Maybe we should have not pressed it. Maybe we should have gone back and started again. And
I said at the start of the episode, I wanted to start again. You wouldn't let me.
I know. So
that would have been a different episode.
Exactly.
But anyway, catch you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.